We're going to eat some pie tonight. So I hope you came with a sweet tooth. You got room for a few pieces. You got to sample a lot of different ones. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn and follow me, I'm in Psalm 34. And I think this is really a psalm of thanksgiving for all seasons. In all seasons of life, there's things that we can be thankful for. So Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. There it is, all seasons, all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. Now, Psalm 34 is a psalm about what happens in 1 Samuel 21. This is an acrostic psalm. Each verse in the Hebrew language starts with a different letter, a succeeding letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. So in this particular psalm, the first 21 verses each begin with the succeeding letter. In verse 22, it's a summary, and it doesn't fit into that chain. The sixth letter of the alphabet is missing. We have no idea why the psalmist didn't use that sixth letter in the alphabet, just kind of skipped over it. But he did. And as I said, it's an acrostic. And there are seven of these types of psalms in the Bible. Now, the reason for an acrostic and the use of it is because it is a good way to memorize things. It helps spur the memory. So you just remember, oh, well, this next thought begins with the next letter, and so forth. So it's a song of thanksgiving, a list of things that they could be grateful to God for. And in our day, it would be thinking of something from A to Z and glorify God in that way. Take each letter, one letter at a time, find something that corresponds to that letter, and be grateful to God for that thing. So this is a psalm of thanksgiving for all season. It fits in no matter what situation you find yourself in. Now, the situation that David found himself in when he wrote this psalm was that he was fleeing from King Saul. Remember, David was taken into the palace. He was best buds with the king's son, Jonathan. But there came a time when Saul became jealous of David and he wanted to kill him. And part of that reason was because the women would sing in the streets and dance and saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And so he became very jealous of David. And David goes, believe it or not, to the city of Gath. And this is one of the five major cities that the Philistines occupied. And so here's David. He's going into enemy territory, really. I mean, he's already killed Goliath, of course. And so when he gets there, they would know who he was. And so maybe you remember the story. What David does is he fakes insanity. He pretends to be a madman. And he marked up the gates of the city and he let spittle dribble down his beard. And in that day and age, that was a sure mark of insanity. Well, the king sees David in this condition and he doesn't do anything to David. David could have very well been killed, but he allows David to live, and David goes to a cave in Gath, and the cave is Adullam. And there he begins to come over himself with this great overwhelming sense of thanksgiving unto the Lord. It was also here that he began to gather an army. But he's so grateful to the Lord for delivering him out of his troubles. And he wants everybody to join him in words of gratitude. So there's just a few things I'd like here to mention, to break down this psalm for us. Verses 1 through 3 is a call to magnify the Lord. And David is really saying there is no time when we cannot magnify the Lord. And Paul picked up on this idea in Philippians when he said, rejoice in the Lord always, right? And again, I say rejoice. It's like he says, rejoice in the Lord at all times. And he thinks, you know, that's so good. I'm going to say it again. And again, I say rejoice. When we're going through the difficulties of life, Our praises may not center on what we are going through, but we can praise the Lord. We can extol Him and bless Him and magnify Him at all times. That's verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is a decision that sometimes we have to make because we don't feel like it. So David said, I have decided to do this. I will do this. And oftentimes when we make up our mind to do something, even if we don't feel like doing it, when we begin to do it, all of a sudden the feelings come. And we feel like doing that. I mean, have you ever had a situation where maybe you were going to go somewhere and you didn't really want to go, but after you went, you had a good time and you're glad that you went? Sometimes our praise is like that. We don't really feel like praising, but you know, I want to praise the Lord anyway. He's worthy of praise, and so we begin to praise Him, and pretty soon we feel like praising Him. And this word for praise here has the idea of bending the knee or bowing the knee before God. And so what David is saying here is, I will bend the knee to God at all times. I will surrender to Him. I will humble myself at all times to Him. And then it's interesting, verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Again, he wants others to do what he's doing, and let us exalt his name together. But magnify the Lord. You know, to magnify is to make something larger, right? A magnifying glass makes things appear bigger so you can see them better. There isn't anything that we can do to make God bigger, is there? He's big enough. But God has said that He wants His people to worship Him. And that's really the only thing God wants, God needs. He has put Himself in that position where He requires or feels the need for His people to voluntarily worship Him. So when he's saying magnify the Lord with me, there's nothing we can do that would change the character or enhance God Himself. But what we do is we make Him greater in each other's eyes. When we give testimony tonight and you could share what God has done for you, things that you are thankful for, what you are doing is making God greater in the eyes of everybody that's here. And so that's what David is saying. Let's make God greater to each other. Let's share what God has done for us. And then everybody together can be magnifying the Lord and exalting Him. The more we become aware of God and our perception increases, the more we have to be thankful for and the more we are to exalt Him in exalting Him. And then verses 4 through 10 is the part where David gives his own personal testimony. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Or rather, He delivered me from all my fears. That is a wonderful thing, that God delivered him from all of his fears. There wasn't any crisis in life then that David would experience that he was not able to praise God in that situation. And it appears here that as David is talking about being refreshed in the Lord's presence, that it can show up on our countenance. You look at verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This goes along with what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians in verse chapter 3, where he says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. Verse 7 notes God's special provision for his people with the protection of angels. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers him. There are a lot of Christians who believe that we have special angels that are assigned to us. It's interesting. We mentioned this in Sunday school in Matthew 18:10, where God is talking about little children, and it says, their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. What does that mean? Their angels always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Some suggest that he's talking about these ancient kings or who had advisors, and you had to be have a pretty important place to be in the presence of the king, so the king would see your face, and you were allowed to be close to the king. And what many people believe, and I believe this too, I believe that there is a representation of you in heaven. I believe that there is an angel that looks like you in heaven. And that angel is always before the face of God. So God is always seeing this angel, and God is being reminded of you. He's reminding himself of you. Not that God would forget, but it's there to show the importance that God places upon his children. You know, we have this idea of guardian angels. I believe we have guardian angels. I believe that angels come and they minister to us. They are spirits, ministering spirits of the grace of God to us. That's something that we have to be thankful for. We are before, there's representation of us before God's throne at all times. And then verses 11 through 14 is a brief lesson on the godly life. And the first step in gaining the wisdom of the Lord is the fear of the Lord. And this means a awe, a reverence, and a respect. It's a fundamental respect for life. And then let me read verses 11 through 14 for you there again. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Something that has to be taught. The fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may say good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Those verses right there is the book of James in a nutshell. And if we want to live a tranquil life, if we want to have established relationships, then we watch what we say and we watch what we do. And that's what these verses are talking about. And then another thing that David would teach is God's care of his own, and that's in verses 15 through 22. Verses 17 and 18 indicate that we as God's people, we might be broken hearted, we might be spiritually crushed, we might have many afflictions. But God's presence will be experienced there during these crisis times. God's protection for us in crisis situation is beautifully seen when we're given the promise of verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, immediately, you probably think of Jesus on the cross. And that not a bone of his was broken. Remember, they would break the legs of those that were hanging on the cross. It was a way of speeding up death because they would have to use those legs to kind of push themselves up so they could breathe. And when they came to Jesus, he was already dead, so they didn't have to break his legs. So this was a prophecy of Jesus, and it could have been what he was meditating on when he was on the cross. We know he was meditating on Psalm 22, but perhaps Psalm 34 he did as well. But here's the thing. The Lord was not delivered like David was. David was delivered out of Gath, but our Lord, he died on the cross. But we know that, of course, he didn't stay dead. And that is the good news of Easter. But not a bone will be broken. In the Near Eastern way of looking at things, the bones form the basic structure of life. If you break your body structure, if you break your back, you're in trouble. Tom broke his ankle, right? Ugly mess, lots of screws and everything, plates, but he's walking, right? He's much better off breaking his ankle than breaking his back or breaking his neck. And so that's the way they looked at it, and they're saying, this is what they interpret that to mean. Not a bodily structure bone will be broken. In other words, whatever goes through life, whenever you go through life, you meet up difficult things. If you put your fear and you put your trust in the Lord, nothing can ultimately break you. Nothing can destroy you. God will take care of you at all times and in all situations. Doesn't mean that we won't have trouble. Doesn't mean that we won't face afflictions. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have health issues and those things. But the real you, the spirit within you, that part of you that will live forever, go to heaven and be with Jesus someday, that part can never be destroyed. Can never be destroyed. And that is the real you. And I think that's what David is saying in this psalm. He's saying that God has protected me. But you know what? Even if God didn't protect me in this cave, I'm still protected. Because you know David believed in the resurrection? He believed in the resurrection. He believed in eternal life. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God, you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever. So I want you to be encouraged. And it's sometimes difficult to praise God in every situation. You may not praise him for the things that you are going through, but you can still praise God because he is God. And as we said this morning, he is still on the throne. And the psalmist here says, evil shall slay the wicked. And how does God do that? That's a good question. How does God slay the wicked? He just does this. He lets them be taken in their own traps that they have set up. Sooner or later, they make a mess out of what they're doing, and they get caught. But the Lord redeems his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be desolate. And it's a great way to end this psalm by speaking of redemption and not being condemned. The Lord redeems us. I think we've kind of lost the idea of what redemption really means. We don't redeem things anymore. They used to have to redeem slaves. You know, thank God we don't have slaves anymore. But they used to have a slave market where people could go and redeem or buy these slaves. We have a few pawn shops around. It's kind of the idea there, where you can go in and you can redeem things that have been placed there. Long time ago, some of you maybe remember like green stamps. You used to save stamps and you used to be able to go into the store and redeem those stamps for something else. But the Lord has come to redeem us. And He has redeemed us with His blood. And it means this. It means to buy back for yourself. That's what Jesus did. He bought us back. God bought us back and He paid for it with His own blood. But David doesn't, he only knows a smattering of redemption. We know a lot more than he did. But God is present in life to save us. So why shouldn't we do as David said there again in those first three verses? You got your Bibles open? Let's read those first three verses together. Psalm 34. Ready? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So who's going to be the first one tonight to magnify the Lord in testimony? Something you're grateful for, something you're thankful for. Let's magnify the Lord together. Who's going to be the first one? Okay, Glenn?
Okay, well, a number of things. Most important is my salvation. But one thing I'm really thankful for is the family I married into. Joan has wonderful sisters and family members, you know, and her mother was wonderful. Mother-in-law, best mother-in-law I could ever have. So that's one thing I'm thankful for. And many others, you know. That's one thing I'm really thankful for.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for my good health, although I've had problems. I think I'm still in pretty good health.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for every day the Lord gives me. And I told a few people this, and I asked the Lord every morning in my prayer, I asked for 20 more years, excess of 20 more years. God gave me up well to my 90s.
Okay.
And I'm going to continue asking that for a few more years until I hit 80.
Okay.
Bring it down to 19 years. But that's, I'm going to continue to do that, and I feel the Lord's going to deliver me. From all sickness that I have, and He has so far, and I believe He's going to. And I'm sure Joan's going to, I'm going to keep my mouth shut on this. I'm sure Joan's going to tell us how He delivered us from an accident that we had a week ago today.
All right. So, Joan, are you next then? He kind of laid it out there where you don't have much of a choice.
There's so many things that happened in that accident. That Satan wanted to destroy, and God turned it over for good. The vehicle that we drove was only 4 days old. The vehicle that he drove was one car payment. He put a both of them towed. He should have went to the hospital. He should have had many things wrong with him. His airbag did not go off. He went right straight ahead, 21 years old. He got out of his vehicle and he was crying the sorrow that he hit him. His name is Tristan, and I found out that, I'll tell you first of all, I was very on a high because I had just been prayed over in the church. On Sunday we left there and I was prayed over. They asked people to come up front and I asked for prayer for this. She's an on-fire prayer warrior and I went right to her and she prayed over me and I asked one specific thing. I said, please let me be on fire for the Lord on this vacation. Without this, I would never, ever have opened my mouth like I did for the Lord the whole time. I shared quite a bit in Bible study this morning, but I didn't have to say anything to any of them because they saw the condition of our vehicle. We should never have walked away. All three of us should have never walked away. The sheriff was there field was a bush hog. The bush hog came up and threw a stone in his tractor, busted the window all hard. He had marks all over his face, and he said, "Is that what that was from?" All his marks, and he went like this, and he said, "Didn't get my main artery," because he had marks. He had cuts all over, but it didn't get my main artery. Both of us were jumping up and down in the parking lot. We happened to get pushed in on this accident in a Baptist parking lot. They were there. And so we were rejoicing. I was rejoicing. And then the EMT came over. And I told her that I was fine. And she shared with me, because I was just praising the Lord. I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I am so happy. Oh, Lord, I am so happy." She said, 3 months earlier, she had a brain aneurysm that burst in her brain, and she said, now we were jumping up and down. I thought I was jumping up pretty good with the police officer, but we were really jumping up. And anyway, she said she lived with this brain aneurysm. And I went over, there's a man that helped Glenn with, Glenn gave him his ID for the insurance, and that he did it all for us, like an angel of light there. There was so many angels of light there, it was all angels of light, all of them. And through this whole thing, the traffic was all the way down, as far as you could see that way, and as far as you could see that way. But anyway, there was another, his wife said there was a little boy following me around, and not a little, he was like 14. And I asked him his name, and he said, "Christian." I said, "Praise the Lord." I said, "You're Mexican, aren't you?" My heart goes up at all. Anyway, my mother said, "Yeah." We adopted him and two other ones in 2002. I said, "I just pray that you turn on apples with us, my son." I said that he loved the Lord. And his mother said, "He is a blessed child and loves the Lord." And I just hugged him and said, "Praise the Lord." All of this had an accident. And I don't know if I told you that. Kristen that ran into us. Satan didn't want him around because his mother told me when we were in the group, she said, "My son is in a drama today with 5 other churches. The name of the drama is Where Would You Go If You Die Tonight?" Now, I don't know how many of you were there, and I'm sure there was a lot. And I'm sure that the testimony was told. I don't know how many of those who have faith in heart of Christ, but Satan didn't have a voice on his knees. He walked away and he walked away.
Amen. Amen. Can't you just see the invisible war that took place there with the angels victorious? Yeah.
And the nice part about it, that the Christian people that we got to meet, now we have more friends down in that area.
Right.
And what a way to meet, But I mean, now we have more Christian friends, and we'll be seeing them when we go back.
Sure, sure.
All along the way, Pastor, I think I shared this with you. This was the road, this was the aftermath. The aftermath was all along the way he had me testify him and his greatness, even in the subway. He said to me, "If I did such a great thing, then tell them." Well, I hung on to the pole when I got up and I testified Christ when he brought us out of this accident. And it continues because I just did it again on Thursday. He looked just like Tristan in the grocery store. So I said, "Man, Tristan, something just happened to me." And I told him the story, and the lady behind said, "Did this. Glory, hallelujah." He started it up. Have I ever so much. It was like that glory hallelujah just bounced right back at me. I couldn't believe it.
Amen.
Amen. That's magnifying the Lord together. That's what that is. Somebody else.
Well, it's a hard one to follow, but I think I'm thankful for the for being alive. Because it would have been about 3 years ago that I had that surgery. And I got staph infection and almost died. But the Lord saved me. I called out to him and he saved me.
Amen. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him.
Right.
Or in this case, her.
So now I can praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Where are you? Paula.
Amen. Audrey?
Well, let's see. I don't really know where to start. But I really thank God for my health and for the healing that he gave me on my back. And that has been in 2009. Since 2009. Praise the Lord for that. But as most of you know, I've got a couple of sons that haul GE generators for wind farms. And Daniel, he's pretty boisterous in his witnessing around the country. And but David is more subtle, but he too witnesses a lot. And yesterday morning, he called me and he said, "Mom," he said, "there's about 12 of us sitting here at the Florida-Alabama line," and he said, "I've got this Christian escort, and we just prayed that we would have safe passage all the way on into Wyoming where they're going, and that the Lord would protect every part of this piece of equipment." And of course, he's rolling down the road at 129 feet long, 14 feet wide, 15 high, and so, and escorts front and rear. So it's like, there's lots of opportunities to kind of have an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But praise God, none of the, neither Dan or Daniel has ever had an accident with one of those things. And it is really wonderful. The number of, when you feel like you're the only one that trusts the Lord in the world, and you run into these Christians all over the nation, it does encourage one's spirit.
Yes, amen.
And I thank God for that. And it's kindred spirits. Truly,
right.
Kindred spirits.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Anyone else? Al, and then Sharon.
I thank the Lord all the time for bringing us to this church and to this pastor of this church.
Amen.
Thanks. Well, thank you.
Growing in the midst of these with your guidance. Can I explain it? How much
that is. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Sharon?
I have faith in the way that I can feel. One thing that Al said was my main thought, and that is Christ's faithfulness. Where we are,
all of the work. He is faithful to each one. He was like a dear father. And I was thinking about my friends of life, how much they mean to me, how much it means that I can share God's word with younger people. And it just thrills my heart. And I know I am where I'm supposed to be. And I thank the Lord that He has been faithful to my grandmothers and my grandpa. And they raised my parents in Christian home. And my parents raised me in a Christian home. And I'm so thankful that I was able to bring our three boys in a Christian home. And everyone is living for Christ. And then I got the bonus baby. I got two from Don's sister, a boy and a girl, and they're Giselle and Abby. And that I can raise them and influence them through the Lord. And it was such a blessing. And Don and I, we prayed. Don's sister Barb was not talking to us. And she was madder than a hornet. She hadn't talked to us for 4 or 5 years. I think it was about 4 or 5 years. And she had to look in because it was around 84 or 85. She stopped talking to us. And it was in 90 that Abby was born. She wouldn't even tell us about the baby, but we heard about the baby coming, and we asked God. Don said, I think we should take that baby in, right? I said, Don, she's not even talking to us. Let's pray if it's God's will that she offer that baby to us. As that November, Don had a chance to help go pick up his sister Barb in Colorado and get them open the door. And that Christmas, on Christmas Eve, she gave me Abby, and she said I could have sex to the unborn child. And it was such I accepted it easily, but still it was astounding to think we prayed for it and God delivered. You know, God delivered. And so all the time when Seth and Abby were being raised by us, I knew it was God ordained. And it gave me such a peace with it. I pray the Lord for his faithfulness.
Amen. 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 Well, Al said he was grateful for the church and for us, and same for us. We are very grateful, thankful for you and for everyone here and your support. It really means a lot. So we appreciate all of you. Really thankful for you. You keep us going, really. So let's pray and ask the blessing and on the desserts, the pies, and we hope you all stay. Father, thank you for this evening tonight, and Lord, for these people. I pray that you would continue to bless each one, each family that's represented here tonight. Lord, meet all of their needs, and Lord, we know that you even go beyond our needs. Our cup runs over. Lord, you not only fill our cup, but you fill it to overflowing. It is joy unspeakable. It's peace that passes all understanding. It's grace that is abundant. And Lord, there's enough left over for us to be able to share with others, and I think that's what you want us to do. Now we ask that you would bless our fellowship and these pies, this dessert, Lord, and our fellowship together in Jesus' name. Amen.